Good morning.
Good morning.
That was weak. Good morning. Thank you very much. Those of you that haven't heard me speak, I'm insecure, so I need to have feedback. Today is not a quiet day.
Amen.
All right? So name of the ministry is Reasons for Hope. And I joke with folks and tell them, you know, look, think about it. There's lots of reasons for hope. But there's only one that will never leave you, never forsake you. And that's what the asterisk leads to, the answer. His name is Jesus. And so if we're going to get out and get busy and do what I think God has called us to do, well, this talk that I'm going to do now is usually the one when I go into a weekend conference, I would start off with this to kind of get folks to understand why we're going to talk about what we talked about last night. You know, media, human evolution, what we talked about in Sunday school, fossils. Because many people in the church just don't think that that's an important issue. Well, I want to challenge you to consider that it may be. Because I think that it truly is. And so this morning I'm going to talk with you about becoming bold. And if we're going to become bold when it comes to our faith, we're going to need to know it, we're going to need to live it, and we're going to need to share it. Now, I had the privilege last year, I got to go to Saskatoon, Canada. Have you ever heard of Saskatoon, Canada? I hadn't. Flew over a whole lot of nothing to get there, man. It's way up there. But it was awesome when I got there. It was great ministry. But something interesting happened in Saskatoon. They had a big police car chase. Did you guys see that? Oh, man, you got to see this. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And I just got it on film. You guys didn't catch it on the news? Oh, that was big news in Saskatoon, I'm going to tell you. No, sorry. That really didn't happen in Saskatoon. That was that's actually a Canadian Midas tire commercial. Now, when I saw it, you know what it made me think of, though? It made me, this is how weird I am, made me think, boy, many of us in the church are just like that police officer. Think about it. What's the police officer's job? Catch the bad guy. What an easy day at the office. Guy's stuck 6 foot in front of him. Get out, walk up, handcuffs, see ya, we're done. No, he gets out and pushes his car. Christian, I think we make it way too difficult sometimes. You know, when it comes to becoming bold, I honestly believe it's a very simple thing. We just open our mouth and share the love of Christ with somebody. You know, it's been a privilege over, let me just cut back to the last 5 months. In the last 5 months, when I go out to restaurants, I don't always do it. I don't always do it, first to confess. But I try to genuinely talk to the waiter, the waitress, and ask them if I could pray for them. I'm going to pray for my food. Can I pray for you? This type of a thing. Let me give you just one little thing. One little thing. I was on my way up to Chicago through Indiana. I can't remember the town name, but I remember the restaurant. It was a Max and Irma's. And the young lady that came over and waited on us, she took our order. And I said, well, ma'am, we're going to pray for our food. Can we pray for you? She immediately broke down into tears. I mean, it was just like, bang. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've had that happen 3 or 4 times over the years that I do this. But this one was really dramatic. She settled down a little bit. I said, ma'am, I didn't mean to offend you. I just wanted to know if I could pray for you. She said, no, I can't believe you would ask me to do that because yesterday, she's in her 20s, yesterday, my boyfriend, who we've been together for 3 years, not living together, but been boyfriend-girlfriend, girlfriend for 3 years, we broke up. And so she is hurting. Now, to me, I'm 53. That's goofy. Come on, get over it. You know, I'm a guy. Move on down the road. Who cares? That doesn't translate well, though, to the, you know what I'm saying? So I looked at this young lady and I said, could I talk to you as if you were my daughter? Would you allow me that privilege? She said, yes. I said, so you obviously really cared about this guy. Yeah. What does God want for you? She was a Christian. She was a Christian. I said, what does God want for you? Does he want you to just have a good life? Or does he want you to have an exceedingly, abundantly amazing life? Well, I said, let me put it to you like this. If you were my daughter, I'd tell you this. If you cared that much about this guy and he's gone, what do you think God's got in store for you? It's something you can't even begin to comprehend. It's going to be so much more amazing. That's my way of saying, move on down the road, forget about it. I got an email from that young lady just 2-3 weeks ago. One of the big reasons they broke up is she didn't want to stay in Indiana because she was graduating college and she couldn't get a job, so she wanted to move somewhere. She just emailed me. I'll pull it up and show it to you if you want. She emailed me and said, you may not remember me, as if I could forget, but I'm graduating college and I now have a job in Montana. And it was a part of the reason my boyfriend and I broke up is because he didn't want to move. I've got this amazing job, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, just bright. Guys, we live in a world that is, the darkness is like overwhelming on people. Be a bright light out there. With something as simple as just us, can I pray for you? That's a simple thing. But you know how amazing an impact that is having on our culture? Just to show somebody that you care? Oh, we're going to talk about that tonight. But right now, let's deal with this. James 1:5 says this. If you lack wisdom, please talk to me. What are you supposed to do? Ask? Ask who? I want to suggest to you that that's a key piece into understanding how we got to where we are in our culture today. America has how many churches? 400,000 churches across the nation of America, and Christianity is almost invisible in the culture. How can that be? Because I'm going to suggest to you that in those 400,000 churches that we have across the nation of America, they're not filled with people who are sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, sold out for His Word, and are asking God when they lack wisdom. Don't trust me. Go to your local Christian bookstore and see what the top sellers are in the Christian bookstore. Prove me wrong. Are we turning to God or are we turning to man? There's an example for you. Take a look at it. I'm going to suggest to you that we're not turning to God. We're turning to man's wisdom. And a major reason we're not turning to God is because of this next verse, nothing wavering. May I suggest to you that doubt is the tool that Satan used in the beginning. It's the same tool that he's using today. He doesn't need a new tool because it works so effectively. See, doubt is what got us to where we are today. And by the way, how did it begin? With a simple question. Did God really say that? Is that a deep, complex question there? Come on, that's simple. Either he said it or he didn't. They blew it. Why? Because they decided that they could determine what truth was apart from God. Satan said one thing, God said another. Hey, thanks, we'll take over from here. He has given us what we've asked for. By the way, you don't think questions are a big deal? Come out on the road with me. Let's go talk to some young people. I do a lot of youth events. You don't think there's questions? Come with me to the college campus. You don't think there's questions? Well, if your God created everything, who created your God? If God could do anything, could God create a rock so big he couldn't move it? You know how I deal with those guys? I ask them a question. What does purple taste like? What does red smell like? That's a dumb question. So's yours. Hey, you want to play games? Do it on somebody else's dime. You want to get real? Let's go. Come back, let's get real. But if you want to play games, what we have is valuable, Christian. Why are we almost apologetic about the fact that Jesus Christ loved us enough to come and die on a cross for us while we were spitting on him? I'm not going to apologize over that. Do you want to play games? Look, you want to wallow in the mud? Go wallow in the mud. But just know this, there are consequences to wallowing in the mud. That's all I can do is let people know that there's a consequence to the action. Questions are the tool that Satan has used and is using. In my heart, what I think that we need to do to really be effective in reaching the culture is recognize the questions that are being asked and deal with them. And then represent the Lord well. Let him work through you. You see, James 1:8 tells us this. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I'm going to suggest to you that we have a church filled with double-minded Christians. And a part of the reason we're double-minded is because we're trying to put one foot on the world's wisdom and one foot on the Word of God. Those two foundations are not the same. And I learned as a young man, if you straddle anything, nothing good happens. And if a Christian is not willing to put both feet firmly on the Word of God, you tell me why the world would want anything to do with us. Because they see us when we are double-minded. They see us when we say one thing and live another way. They see us in our, may I dare say, hypocrisy. Love the Lord your God with all. Are you sure? All? All your what? Heart? Mind. There's the battle. If we're dead straight honest, there's a battle. It's over the mind. Good questions. Let me illustrate it for you like this. I love to do this. We got some young folks in here. Praise God. Young folks, let me give you a ministry. I call them worldview surveys. Because what I have found, I don't care where you are, if you go out on the street and you take a camera, people will talk to you. It's crazy. Everybody wants to get on TV. Me, I see the guy coming with a camera, I'm running. I don't want to be on film. I'm running. I don't want to be that guy. Look at that. Can you believe this guy? You know? But people will talk to you. Look, the camera doesn't even need to work. Just take a camera. And take two of you. And one with a clipboard, because if you've got a clipboard and a camera, ooh, it's official. Now for you techies, I'll give you the questions that I ask on the iPad. Because if you got an iPad and a camera, it's Fox News, baby. And you just ask questions. Because what I have found is I don't care if you are young earth, sixth day, creationist, to as far out as you want to go. Everybody believes something. But very few can give an answer for the reason, for the hope that lies within them. We can give opinions, but an opinion is not the same as an answer. Let me introduce you to Mr. Cordero. By the way, my goal in life is to never do another worldview survey. What? I don't want to do them anymore. I'm getting older. I want to pass it on to the next generation. I want to train and equip them to do it. I'll be the cameraman. I don't need to be on film. So Adam is the young man that did this interview, and he asked Cordero, Cordero, do you read the Bible? Cordero responded with, yes, I do. Praise God. This will be a good interview because we got a Bible reader. And then he asked Cordero, how do you believe we got everything that we see around us? I'll give you four options. God created in 6 days. God used millions of years. Intelligent design, there's something out there, we don't know what it is. Or naturalistic processes over millions of years, Cordero responded with.
Well, I would definitely say that the Big Bang Theory definitely doesn't cover it to me. As far as what I've learned throughout my lifetime, I just basically go along with the 6 days of creation thing.
Isn't that great? Cordero reads the Bible. Cordero believes God created in 6 days. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That was horrible. Didn't you hear the hesitancy in the way that he responded? The way I was raised, I just kind of go along with, I believe. Allow me, please. What makes what you believe any better than what they believe? What makes your book any better than their book? What about that young girl in India that's never heard about the gospel? Why is she going to go to hell? Because she's never heard the gospel. Why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? What about life from the further star? What about aliens? What about UFOs? Global flood. Where'd the water come from? Where'd the water go to? How'd you get two of every, seven of some, 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat, Cordero? You hearing me? If all you have is, well, I believe, you're toast. 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. And notice I did not say we're losing them. We never had them. They grew up with what I grew up with. Do this, do this, don't do this, you're okay. No, we're sinners. We need a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And unless we repent, fall on our face before Him, we are headed for hell. Don't care if you're sitting in a church. Don't care where you are. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are bound for hell. That is not mean-spirited. We don't want to talk about that. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. That's the way that it is. He loves us and doesn't want us to go there. And we can't patty cake it. We have to be honest about it. That faith, I know how to destroy. Because the questions that I ask in my worldview survey are questions that I asked when I was a non-Christian. But the reason I asked them as the non-Christian, thinking I was a Christian, I did. I would have told you till 26. I was a Christian because I was raised in America. I was raised in the church. I knew when to stand up, sit down, kneel. I knew when the offering plate is coming. That's not Christianity. But I loved to get in conversations with Christians and ask them questions and turn them into a carp. You know what I'm talking about. You ever been fishing? You catch an old carp? What good's a carp, man? You just throw it up on the bank and ask Christians those questions. You get carp face. Cordero, do you believe the Bible contains mistakes or errors? Oh, it's about to get good.
I'd say there are definitely some things that I read that seem kind of shaky to me, yeah.
We're done. Seriously, think about this for a second. We're done. We're going to go out and boldly reach a culture that is openly aggressive, antagonistic, mean-spirited when it comes to Christianity, Christ, and the Bible. And we're going to do it by, well, yeah, some things are shaky. Excuse me. Cordero, where's it shaky? Where's it not shaky? How do you know where it's shaky? How do you know where it's not shaky? I'm going to suggest to you that if you can't sell out for Genesis 1:1, you'll never sell out for John 3:16. Because God said, love the Lord your God with all. And his word is true from the book of Isaiah on. Right? Well, I'm a New Testament Christian. What in the world is that? I have people tell me, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. Excuse me. Everything that takes place in the New Testament is predicated on the history that's in the Old Testament. And if I can't trust the history in the Old Testament, why should I trust the New Testament? If this is shaky, why is that not shaky? I'm not trying to be mean. It's reality. Shaky? We're done. Go home. Cordero, how do we get so many different races if we all go back to one man and one woman? I mean, how do we get the black people, the white people, the blue people, the green people, the yellow people? How do we get all those different colored people if we all go back to one man and one woman like the Bible says?
That, I honestly don't know.
By the way, if you can't answer that question, why should I trust you on anything else? By the way, you don't think that issue is important in our world today? I'm going to say this to you right now. This is not a mean spirit. You want to deal with the issue that we see going on in Ferguson, in Baltimore, in New York, and across this country? We're the only ones that have an answer. His name is Jesus. But by our silence and allowing the world to become the authority, we've lost the opportunity to deal with that issue because too many in the church have said Jesus with their lips, but with their minds acted like the world. You don't think that's an important issue? God, I know what you wrote, but let me tell you what you meant. God, I know you said that you created in 6 days and rested one, but you didn't quite understand science because science has proven that the earth is millions of years old. So those days really aren't days. They're actually long periods of time where there's a gap in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. God, we know what you wrote, but let us tell you what you meant. And God, I know that you said we all go back to one man and one woman, but you didn't quite understand science, God, because science has proven that over slow gradual processes, ape-like ancestor evolved into the black man in Africa, and some of those black folks, they ate fish. That made them get smart, and then they moved north, and then they became white. You're chuckling. You think I'm joking? I'll show you the video. That's exactly what evolution teaches. 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. What are they going to? Either God created the way that he said that he did, we all go back to one man and one woman, or we do not. And we in the church for too long have said, Jesus, but with our mind, You know why I know that? Because I've been around a long time. I'm supposed to speak in Johnson City, Tennessee. Pastor called up excited. Carl, we never get phone calls for guest speakers. I've had people call from 3 different states. He's excited. 10 minutes later, he cancels the speaking event. I'm pretty good with PR. Yeah, I can take it from excited to canceled. Just give me 10 minutes. Any small business owners, you need somebody to do some side work for you? I can help. Excited to canceled. 10 minutes. Do you know why he canceled? Because in the course of our conversation, he found out that my wife is Japanese. And the pastor was like, she's an American that was raised in Japan, right? I said, no, she's Japanese. Carl, I can't let you speak in my church. What? Our bylaws state that if I let a man who's in an interracial marriage speak in my pulpit, I'll be removed from ministry. Pastor, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, first man Adam. That means we all go back to one man. Genesis 3:20, Eve is called Eve because she is mother of all living. That means everybody on this planet goes back to one man, one woman. The Bible never talks about race other than running a good race. So therefore, there's only one race, the human race, which means there is no such thing as interracial marriage. How can you justify that position biblically? Sorry, Carl, canceled. Deacon, oh no, I don't want to go. Man, that's a whole talk all by itself. Can't go there today. You better be able to give an answer on how we can get all the different looking folks from one man and one woman. And what we see in the world is consistent with what we read in the Word of God. That's a big issue. But come on, Carl, come on, come on. Science has proven the earth is millions of years old, Cordero. But when you read the Bible, it's really kind of tough to put those millions of years into the scripture. But if the Bible's true, how do you explain fossils that are 100, 200, 300, 400 million years old? Why did we talk about fossils in Sunday school? Because this is an issue that is causing the church to stumble. Can I make it simple? I've had to make this question easier. Fill in the blank. The wages of sin is... Excuse me? You fundamentalist hicks, where'd they dig you up from? You can't believe that. You cannot believe the wages of sin is death, because I'll prove you wrong. Let's go down to your local museum and I'm going to show you a fossil that is 100, 200, 300 million years old. Did Adam live 300 million years ago? Then don't tell me the wages of sin is death, because I'm showing you a dead thing that took place long before Adam ever came onto the scene. Well, that's just dealing with human death. Really? Why does the scripture say the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth because of man's sin? Oh, that's just dealing with spiritual death. Then why did Jesus say, from dust you came and dust you're going to return because of the curse? That's physical as well as spiritual death. How do you deal with that, Cordero?
It's really hard to say. Like I'm saying, like my personal opinion, just from the way I was raised, I go along with the biblical definitions of most things, but I guess I really couldn't answer that question.
So you think that mentality is going to go out into this culture and light up the world, baby? The way I was raised, I think I just kind of go along with. Oh, there's confidence. I am not trying to be disrespectful, and please don't think that I'm mocking Cordero. Cordero I use because he's just representative of the conversations that I get with folks that are in the church. Before I started doing this, my goal when I first started doing these conferences, I was sending the questions to the youth groups in the church saying, I want you to interview people in your church, get it on film. Send me the film, then when I come out there, I won't use Cordero. I'll use people from your church. Guess how well that went over? I told you, I'm just like, hey, going down the road. I'm a bull in a china shop, man. Blew that one. Oh, that failed miserably. So poor Cordero's been getting beat up on for years now. I'm not beating up on Cordero. He's just representative of what I see in the church. And by the way, the whole reason for asking the question is not to embarrass, it's not to ridicule, it's to get people to think. Can you answer those questions any better than Cordero did? Camera goes off. Cordero, you're a Christian. Guess what? So am I. Because the whole time you're asking the questions, and remember, young earth creationist, old earth Christian, or creationist, naturalistic processes, or intelligent design, the questions are geared right at their worldview. They're not all the same. It's going right after their worldview because I want them to think. And when I'm talking to the Christian, they think I'm an evolutionist. They think I'm an anti-Christian because of the questions that I'm asking. It's going after their worldview. And you can see I'm starting to get angry. Then when it's all done, hey, I'm a Christian as well. I wasn't trying to mock or ridicule you. You struggle with some of those questions. Can I show you how to answer them? You see, here's the goal. The questions, hopefully, are a catalyst to a conversation. That's where good things happen. Not in mocking, not in ridiculing, and conversing with people. But you got to be able to answer the questions before you ask the questions, if you're going to do that. Carl, lighten it up, man. We're here on Sunday morning. We need to be lightened up. The world's so heavy on us. Lighten it up. Okay. How'd they get two of every seven of some 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat, Cordero? That's what the Bible says. How'd they fit all those animals on that boat?
Once again, sorry if this doesn't help much, but no clue.
By the end of this talk, you're going to have a clue. But here's the difference. The way that you're going to have a clue is not from the way that the world teaches, because you've got to understand, as I pointed out this morning, the Christians and the non-Christians all have the same evidence. Evidence isn't the problem. Interpretation of evidence is the issue in our culture today. So, let me point this out to you using this. Simple question. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? Now, I'm a nice guy, so I'm going to help you. There's no reverse photography. There's no magnets. There's no strings. And there's no air. Somebody suggested air, and that was really thinking. That was good. But there is no air. The way that you answer that question will be dependent on the way that you see the evidence. The first thing that I challenge, especially that younger generation when I get them, is you better question the question. Because I can ask you a question in such a way that you can't come up with a correct response. So the question we should be asking is, are the balls rolling uphill? Oh, now that's a very good question. And that all depends on your perspective. I'm taking the exact same evidence that the world has, and all I'm going to do is twist it, and I'm going to look at it from a different perspective, and then I'm going to ask you the question again. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? And the answer is, they don't. But when you look at it from a certain perspective, does it not look like that? Think about this. 900 hours a year is the average time a child spends in the school system. 80 to 85% of the Christian homes send their children to the world to be trained by the world to think like the world. And then we wonder why they go to the world. Sorry, I digress. That's another talk. That same child spends 1,064 hours in front of a TV set. Then many of those children that are the gamers, oh, don't talk about it. Oh, no, we're talking about it. 936 hours a year. And you don't think there's any messages going on in the video games, in the TV? And guys, you can only talk about what you know about. And if you're spending 900 hours a year, 1,064, 936 being trained to think like the world, no wonder 50 to 88% of the kids are gone. They're just being consistent with what they know. See, Psalm 11:3 is very clear. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Righteous, wake up, realize there's a battle going on. Running and hiding isn't the answer. It's just not the answer. So I threw that question at you guys about, God. Who created your God? You ever think about that? Anybody ever ask you that? If I get a guy that I think I can really talk to and they're not playing games with me, here's the way that I respond to it. Would you like me to show you how I respond to that? I can skip it. You want me to go? You want me to do it? All right, hang on. Are you ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this. I really don't. But you said you're ready. I can't hear you. Okay. I don't think so.
Tostitos, how'd you think of these Scoops chips?
It was the 1990s. Dips had become extreme. Layers of intense ingredients. It was too much. I was a broken chip, and I needed to change. But how? I wandered the world looking for answers. I looked at stuff. Then it hit me. I changed my shape. Now I'm ready for any dip.
Even this big old dip? Booyah!
Bring it!
Bring it! Booyah!
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 I told you, you weren't ready for that. I'm looking at your faces. What? Where's he going with that? I actually do use this. I use it. Why? Because I'm going to suggest to you that the world thinks they know us. They think they know us because they've seen us on Family Guy, Simpsons, Desperate Housewives, Law and Order. They've seen the news. We're Westboro Baptist, bunch of closed-minded, intolerant, bigoted, opinionated hicks. Those are Christians. And I'm going to do something that's just going to blow their mind. What? Tostitos commercial? And you're talking about God? Yeah, I am. Here's how I do it. Let me ask you, anybody in here honestly, genuinely believe that a bag of chips can talk? Thank you. Thank you. Those folks are really hard to have conversations with. And you find a lot of them on the college campus, okay? Anybody in here honestly, genuinely believe that a chip can change its shape all by itself? Tired of looking like this, I'm going to change my shape. Anybody believe a chip can do that? One hand. We're in trouble. Most of you would say that's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Okay. Then may I ask why this is not ridiculous?
Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains, butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and me.
So it's ridiculous to think that a chip can change its shape. But over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains and butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and I. And that's science. Is it my job to convict or convert that person? Do you think they don't see the silliness in that? So you don't believe a chip could change its shape, but hydrogen gas could change its shape? By the way, where'd your hydrogen gas come from? Where'd my God come from? No, where'd your gas come from? Then I'll answer your question. If you think gas can turn itself into everything that we see, I got one word for you. One word. It's simple.
Inconceivable!
$900 a year. Child goes to the school system. They're taught a history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry that absolutely undermines the Word of God. And then that same child, we will then bring to church for an hour a week to overcome 900 hours, 1,064, 936 hours of training, very focused. Oh, I'm sorry. You were in Sunday school, most of you. 2 hours a week. What was I thinking? You still have Sunday evening service? I'm sorry. 3 hours a week. 3 hours a week, you're going to overcome all of this indoctrination that this younger generation is being confronted with? Really? 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 And in that 3 hours a week that you're sitting in church, how many hours truly, honestly, are teaching a generation how to apply their faith in the real world? I can't answer that for you. That's something you've got to answer. See, I'm going to suggest to you that by our turning our children over to the world, whether it's through the media, whether it's through the school system, whether it's by pawning them off on somebody else to educate them, whatever. Oh, you think I'm telling you to homeschool your children? No, I'm not. That's between you and the Lord. You're telling us to put our children in the Christian school? No, I'm not. That's between you and the Lord. So you're telling us to put them in the public school? No, I'm not. That's between you and the Lord. But let me put it to you like this. Whose responsibility is it to educate our children? Government's job. Church's job. Mom's job. Oh, now I get called sexist. True. I speak at homeschool conferences, right? I've had them come up. You're sexist. Why? Because you're talking to men. Yeah. Yeah. Because whose responsibility is it to train and educate the children, to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord? It's the father's job. Now, let me hasten to add, if dad chooses to let mom help him in his responsibility to educate the children, there's nothing wrong with that. But dad, you better be involved in the process. You think just by pawning your child off on mom to raise, you've done your job? Uh-uh. That's not biblical. Be involved in the process. Now, if you choose to let the Christian school help you in your responsibility, you better be involved in the process. If you choose to let the government school, now I think it's ridiculous personally, but if you choose to do that, you better be involved in the process. So there, I made everybody mad, public, Christian, homeschool. Make all y'all mad. Dad, be involved in the process. Because we're the problem. When we abdicate our responsibility and turn them over to somebody that teaches them a history, Big Bang, slow gradual processes over millions of years, that absolutely undermines the Word of God, you think you're going to overcome that with fairy tales and fables and Bible stories? It's not going to happen. Teach the Word of God as it is given to us as real history. Does God's Word deal with astronomy? You better believe it does. God said, rally and cry of every Christian. God said he created the earth on day one. God said he created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. That deals with astronomy. What I see in the world, is it consistent with that history? Hello? Do you know how many observable stars there are in the sky? I'm not talking the total number of all the stars. I'm talking about just the ones we can see using the greatest technology that we have today. It's a big number. It's a 7 followed by 22 zeros. My question is, who invented counting that high? Seriously. All right, we got to invent counting. Carl, that's your job. Okay, 10. Done. All right. No, we need a big number. Okay, 20. Done. A 7 followed by 22 zeros. Who invented that? Do you know how big that number is? That number is greater than every grain of sand on every beach and desert on our planet. There are more stars than grains of sand, and these are just the observable ones. And you're not impressed. This is a tough audience. You shouldn't be impressed. You know why? Because it's actually 10 times more stars than grains of sand. We don't know how to make a single star from a naturalistic process. You get this star that explodes, and the force of that explosion makes all this gas come together and become a star. Where'd that star come from? And by the way, there's 76 trillion observable stars. And by the way, where'd your gas come from? Oh, you know how many stars there are, including the ones we can't see? Let me let a non-Christian talk to you. This is a non-Christian. He said, some people think it is what? Couldn't hear you. You know what I said when I read that? Don't think I'm going charismatic on you, but I said amen. Because it takes an infinite God to create an infinite number of stars to speak them into existence from nothing. That's the God we serve. And we're afraid to talk about him? And by the way, he knows the stars by name. That's the God we serve. And if he knows the stars by name, do you know what else he says? He knows you more intimately than any person on this planet ever could. He knows what you truly are like, not the face that you put on when you're here, or I put on when I'm here. And he still loves us. Understand that. Impossible. He knows me at my core, and he still loves me enough to die for me. I can't fully understand that this side of heaven. Does the Bible deal with biology? Slow, gradual processes over the course of 14 billion years. Ape-like ancestor, black folk eating fish. You guys, you know, when I heard that, when I watched that video, I got it. I'll show it to you if you want to see it. That's the explanation. Here's what ran through my mind. I'm a simple man. Okay, so they ate fish. That caused their brain to develop, and they got smart. That means that I should be dumber than a brick. I don't eat fish, man. Eating fish messes the whole process of eating up. Eating is stab, cut, chew. If you got a spit bone, I don't want to do it. Hey, that's bad when you got a wife that's Japanese, man. She loves fish. And I'm talking those little tiny nasty fish, man, that they smell. I mean, she cooks them, and I'm driving. I'm a block from that. Oh, she's cooking fish. I laid down the law. You cannot cook that fish in the house. I wear the pants. She just tells me which ones to wear. So it didn't work, trust me. Guys, point number two, hear me. Simple man. They got smart, so they left the beach and move north where it's cold. I think that's the wrong direction. I'm staying on the beach, man. You can keep that cold stuff. I'm not going up there. Guys, that's your explanation? Uh-uh. God said, one man, one woman. By the way, what I see in the world, is it consistent with what I read in the Word of God? Science started studying the Y chromosome, passed from the father to the child. Every culture on this planet, I don't care what you look like, they now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that every person on this planet goes back to one man. Could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. Mitochondrial DNA is passed from the mother to the child. And they now know beyond a shadow of a doubt, every person on this planet goes back to one woman. You're shocked. You shouldn't be. Because when God said that we go back to one man, and when God said we go back to one woman, he meant it. He was there. He did it. Well, how'd you get all the different colored people? That's a different talk. Sorry, I don't have time to do all of it. By the way, anybody have a smartphone or an iPad? Smartphone or an iPad? Wow, that was like the worst response I've seen ever. I think I saw like a half a hand. Seriously, who has a smartphone or an iPad? You're not that old. Come on, thank you. Download our app free of charge. Go to your app store. Not now, you're in church. Reasons for Hope. Go to the questions answer section, and where did Cain get his wife and how'd you get all the different colored people? There are two short videos on there that answer that. It's free. Don't think I'm trying to sell you. It's free. All right? I do have a talk out there as well, but I'm not trying to sell you. Here's something that may shock you. Get ready for this. This just came out a short while ago. They started doing studies, and they found this. Almost every man alive can trace his origins to one man who lived about 135,000 years ago. I don't believe the dates, but let's just give it to him for a second. And then he goes on to say this. And that ancient man likely shared the planet with the mother of all women. Aren't you shocked and amazed? We now know every person on this planet goes back to one man and one woman, and they lived at the same time. Woo-hoo! Duh, it's not going to work any other way. But Carl, the Bible, geology, slow gradual processes over millions of years. Come down the Grand Canyon with me. You think slow gradual processes explains the world that we live in? Go on some of those creation tours that your local group is running, going out to the Badlands and those things. Guys, go look at the actual evidence. It doesn't support slow gradual processes. Come with me next year, July 18 to 22nd. Let's go dig dinosaur bones in Glendive, Montana. You want to see evidence that God did what he said that he did rapidly? Let's go do it. Here's the point. Most folks have never been trained how to apply their faith in the real world. We hear something on TV and we don't know how to deal with it. But there's one thing that we really hang on to now. It's our morals. We are Christians. We have morals. Oh, yes. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't chew. We don't date girls that do. We don't like that long hair. We don't like that pierced stuff. And we most definitely don't do the tats. We have morals. Excuse me. Don't you understand? The morals are based in the history. If you lose the history, why are the morals true? Why is marriage one man, one woman for life? Mean-spirited? No, I'm not. The creator of the institution of marriage told us what it was and the way that it should be done. And he also told us that there are consequences to not doing it the way that he said to do it. True love is willing to look you in the eyes and tell you, you're free to do this. Don't care what the law of the land states. You're free to do it that way. But there are consequences. And I got to love you enough to tell you that there's consequences to wrong actions. Marriage is one man, one woman for life because the creator of the institution said so. Why is abortion wrong? Because I think so, you think so, law of the land states it. Don't care about the law. I care about the creator of life, what he said. He said from the point of conception, you're a human being, you're created in the image of God, you're fearfully, wonderfully made. That's not mean-spirited. That's truth. You don't have to believe that. You don't have to live by that. But there are consequences to not living by that. But if you lose that history, you're not going to keep the morality. And for too long, what we've tried to do is put the Christian morality on the wrong history, and the history will not bear out the Christian morality. Oh, but the eternity. Guess what? Eternity is based on the history too. Why do we have 50 to 88% of the young people walking away and going after something that does not work? They lost the history. We turned over the teaching of the facts, quote unquote, to the world, and we got relegated to doing our little fairy tales and our fable thing, and we wonder why we lose a generation. I don't wonder, because I was one of them. I'm the one that walked away until somebody challenged me, and that's what I want to do to you. You see, guys, if we're going to overcome this, we got to teach a generation not what to think, but how to think. And when we use these pictures, oh, church split. Guys, I have not been in your youth room. I've not gone around your church. If you've got this picture, This is not an attack. This picture did get me banned from a church in Florida, though. Pastor was mad. I put it up there. The whole congregation turned and looked at the wall. Well, on the stage, there was a big stage and bushes and everything, and I couldn't see what they were looking at. So I'm standing up on the stage, and they're all looking at the wall, and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. I didn't know Pastor's daughter just painted that picture on their wall in the sanctuary. This is an illustration, all right? If you have this picture in your church, in your house, all I'm saying is, you better teach the truth. Because by giving them this picture, you are setting a child up for failure. They see this picture, they think that's what the ark was like? Oh no, we fall prey to the world. Take a listen, this guy loves it.
Now it's time to turn to Genesis 6, 11 through 13, Noah's Ark. Read along.
There's no way you can get two of everything on a boat.
Animals and arcs is kind of silly.
It's just a little far-fetched.
And this guy really likes us.
There's no possible way that Noah could have retained all 10 billion species on a single boat and then distributed them appropriately where the marsupials are all in Australia and so forth. This is just ridiculous. It is so ridiculous, I find it embarrassing for people who attempt to prove that it's true.
So let me ask you, would you like an answer on how they could fit all the animals on the boat? Okay, put your seatbelt on. You think I've been speaking quickly? Oh, no. I've actually slowed down a little bit today. We're going to go after this. I do a series of videos that I call Debunked. They're Dirty Jobs meets Mythbusters on steroids, okay? There's a lot of bunk in the world, and some of the bunk is you couldn't fit all the animals on the boat, so we're going to debunk the bunk. You ready? Here we go. Hang on.
Lots of people say there's no way that two of every known species in the world could fit onto Noah's Ark. You know what? We agree. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible doesn't claim that's what happened. So if we really want to get to the truth of it, we're going to need to see what the Bible really says about all this and then ask three questions. How many animals are we really talking about? How big were they? And how big was the ark?
All right, note takers, last chance. Get your pen and paper ready because we're going to deal with this. If you want to answer how they fit all the animals on the boat, you got to answer these three questions. How many animals are we talking about? How big were they? How big was the boat? You answer those three questions, it's no longer a joke. That was your chance. Here we go.
We answer those, we're closer to understanding the truth. Make sense? Good. So how many animals are we really talking about here? Well, let's jump back to move forward, shall we? Let's take a peek at day 5 of Creation Week and do a plain reading of Genesis 1, verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. Jump ahead to Genesis 1, 25, day 6, the same day man and woman were created, and here's what we get. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. So there you have a very clear account of the land and sea creatures created by God according to their kinds. Now, take a look at the phrase, according to their kind. What does it mean? Is it the same as species? I don't think so. It's possible that it's closer to what we call families in the typical biology class today, with some exceptions. Keep in mind that species is a man-made definition anyway. Confused? Huh, let me explain. Let's take the dog kind, for example. We'll call the female dog taken on the ark Bingo, because that's the name of my first dog. Okay, from Bingo and her mate, you can get the various species of coyote, wolf, and even domestic dogs, like the border collie, Great Dane, poodle, and so on. You get it? The different species we have now could have easily been generated after the flood from the information already present within the parent kind. So kind isn't the same as species at all. And a plain reading of the Bible teaches that Noah only had to take the representatives of the different kinds of land-dwelling, air-breathing animals. You don't believe me? Take a look for yourself. Genesis 6:20, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. That's as clear as it gets, folks. Simple instructions of what to take and what not to take. And in case we need further understanding on what God meant, he clarifies by telling us what died outside the ark, Genesis 7:22, and in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. Okay, so it's not talking about any sea creatures being on the ark, not the tiniest seahorse or the largest whale, because the last time we checked, they weren't swimming around on dry land. He's also not talking about plant life or single-celled organisms or bacteria. No, only things that have the breath of life in its nostrils and are on dry land.
All right, I'm throwing a lot at you. Got to make sure you're getting this. This is too fast, Carl. Hey, younger generation has a 2.2-second attention span. That's what the research shows. If you think you're going to reach that younger generation with today, they're done. So I come at them quick. So, did they have to take Great Dane, St. Bernard, Coyote, Wolf, Fox under the ark? What'd they take? To the original dog kind. Don't trust me. Don't believe me. Let's go to London Museum of Natural History, Charlie D's backyard. If there's evidence for evolution, Charlie D ought to have it. Walk in the front door. Go 2 aisles. Hang a left. Go down that hallway. Hey, looky here. Dog exhibit. The sign reads, all 35 species of dogs we see today go back to 2 dogs. Ooh, that's really cut down on the number of dogs. How about this? House cat, Bengal tiger, puma, mountain lion. Did they have to take all of those onto the ark? What'd they take? To the original cat kind. And I'm talking house cat to Bengal tiger. Don't trust me. Do a 180. Dog exhibit. Hey, cat exhibit. All 37 species of cats. By the way, some people say 38. 37 species of cats we see today go back to 2 cats. House cat to Bengal tiger. So the question is, how many animals did they need to take onto the ark? That's a really good question. We don't know everything. We weren't there. But we've been able to break it back to the genus level. Because from the genus level, you can get everything that we see today. It would take about 8,000 animals to get everything that we see today. Well, the Bible says 2 of every. Okay, double it. No, 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 no. The Bible says 7 of some. I'll tell you what, let's be really generous. Let's increase it to 30,000. That's being generous. So the question is, could 30,000 animals fit on the boat?
That's a good question. Glad you asked. To answer it, we have to take a look at 2 more things. The size of the average animal and the size of the ark. Makes sense? Of course it does. Moving on. We can't list every animal, but we've got things from the various bird kinds to the elephant kind, from the various dinosaur kinds to the smallest mammal kinds, and so on and so on and so on. So, you take all the young adult animals, because nothing says the animals had to be the oldest and biggest, and you look at all the various sizes we know of today, even from the fossil record, and you do some calculating, you come to the conclusion that the average size of the land animal is actually smaller than a sheep. But let's just use a sheep as the average size for the sake of argument.
Hold up. What's the average size of a land animal today? Smaller than a sheep. So not only did we increase the number, we increased the size of the animal to make it a challenge. So the question is, could 30,000 animals the size of a sheep fit on the boat? Man, what could we do to figure something like that out? I mean, that's impossible. I mean, oh, I got a really radical idea. How about this? What about we go
back to the Bible. Genesis 6:15. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Genesis 6:16. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Using what's known as the small cubit, that makes the ark approximately 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and about 45 feet high, with 3 decks, a door, and a window. So this ain't no canoe or a bathtub boat with giraffe heads poking out of it. This is a huge, seaworthy vessel. The total available floor space on the ark would have been over 100,000 square feet. The total cubic volume would have been 1,518,000 cubic feet, which is about the capacity of 522 railroad stock cars.
How many stock cars? Do you know how big that is? Watch this. Anybody ever come up, you're driving along, you come up to the train tracks, ding, 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 ding. Anybody ever happened to you? How'd you like to get stuck on the wrong side of the track with 522 railroad stock cars? Let me show you how big that is. 522 railroad stock cars, there's 5,280 feet in a mile, okay? An average stock car is 82 foot long. Divide 82 into that, you come up with 59 stock cars in a mile. Do the math, that is 8 miles of train. How'd you like to get stuck on the wrong side of the track with 8 mile of train just coming along? And we want to show our children the rinky-dinky boat and think that we've sent them out to be a missionary, and we have sent them as lambs to the slaughter. Because they see the Bible, therefore, as just a bunch of fairy tales and fables. Oh, no. It was a real boat, because there was real judgment, because of real sin. And by the way, do you notice that all I have done is quote Scripture, quote Scripture, quote Scripture? When you start with Scripture, you don't get that. You get the truth. Oh, but I didn't answer the question. Could they fit them all?
So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, folks. How many sheep can fit into 522 stock cars? Well, just so happens I know the answer. The average double-deck railroad stock car can fit about 240 sheep. Now, that's a lot of wool. So 522 stock cars holding 240 sheep-sized animals each gives us the hefty total of 125,280 sheep-sized creatures that could have fit onto the ark. Remember, we only needed to fit 30,000 on it, and 30,000 is almost 2 times the already generous estimate of animals necessary to represent all the species we see today. So it's easy to see that with more realistic numbers, there was plenty of room for cages, food, and even fresh water for the duration of the year-long stay that these animals had to be on the ark. And you know what? Ark researchers have studied this too, and I'll let you look that up. So there you have it. Simple reading of scripture, simple math, basic science. This fallible claim against the Bible is debunked. Adios.
What do you think? If you teach a generation how to use the Word of God to answer questions like that, you think it might have an impact? It's all scripture. It's all I did. You see, guys, we got a generation that's under attack. And we better teach them how to apply their faith in the real world. Because the world loves to use questions. And I got a simple question for you. Why can't we use good questions? Who created my God? Who created your gas? I don't have to argue anymore. You can't answer that question. So my position is ridiculous, even though I can give an answer. You may not like the answer. I can give an answer. But my position is ridiculous, but yours is not. You don't have a clue where your gas came from. You don't have a clue how a star formed. You don't have a clue how people came from. Ape-like creature. Why can't we ask good questions? Why am I as passionate about this as I am? Because I've been around for a long time. I've been doing ministry for over 20 years. But I had a really key moment 6 years ago when my son came to me. And he said, "You're going to be a grandfather." Those are my grandchildren from my son. And when my son told me that I was going to be a grandfather, I'm just being honest with you, my heart did a little flip, man. I was scared because I see what's going on in the culture. And my fear, did I train my own children enough to pour into their children? Because I've seen the slip. I've seen the slip. Did I raise my children with, do this, don't do this? Or could they pass on the truth? I was concerned. I was concerned enough that I left a very successful ministry to start what I'm doing now. By the way, this is my granddaughter from my daughter's side and my grandson. Remember, my wife is Japanese. Our children are half Japanese, which means that my granddaughter, who is blonde hair, blue-eyed with curly blonde hair, I got to give it a later picture, man. I just love that picture of her eyes. They're so beautiful. But her hair is really long. And I'm telling you, it's an afro. She's a quarter Japanese. We are so wound up on skin color and eye shape. It's a genetic trait. Now, why do I show the grandbaby pictures? Because I've said so many hard things. And people are like, "That guy's a jerk." You show the grandbaby pictures? Oh. Forget about the hard stuff. I don't want you to forget about the hard stuff because it truly is not hard. This is a heart that is on the road. I'm on the road over 220 days a year. I see a lot. And all I know how to do it is to be straightforward with you. There's a battle. I can show you video after video after video. It's not just Cordero. It's in the church over and over and over again. People laugh. When I show Elby's picture, I cry. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. Elby was drunk. He's a PhD student at the University of Michigan. This was in Ann Arbor, Michigan. "Hey, Elby, what gives you hope?" "Hope? You live, you die, you rot. That's all there is to it." My heart breaks for Elby. I use sarcasm to try to keep you awake. I am not mocking those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart breaks. And that's why tonight we'll talk about evangelism. Because that's my heart. I use apologetics to lead to evangelism. If your apologetic does not get you to the point where you're talking about Jesus, you're wasting your breath. So, materials out there, great. I don't push. If it helps, fantastic. If I can't help you, find somebody that will encourage you in your faith. Here's my goal. Here's the only reason I do what I do. Short video, I'm done. But here's why I do what I do. Just kind of illustrates the point.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. people can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.